Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 580, it is week one of a mentor series we are doing for moms. Normally in the summer, we do a summer of mentorship series where we republish previous episodes. This summer, I just felt a need to share thoughts that I would share with a mom. If she and I were having coffee, what I would want to know. And we're going to cover four different specific topics. And in each, I'm going to share my own thoughts, some stuff from my book, Don't Mom Alone, and also share clips from episodes on those same topics. We're going to talk about strengthening your marriage, connecting with your child, connecting with other moms, connecting with God and yourself. And we're going to do all this just because I think it's important that one, you know, of course, this is my theme, that you're not alone. But last Sunday, I was at church and our pastor, we were working through Acts, and he was talking about this concept of encouragement. It's parakaleo is the Greek word for encourage. But it's not just like, woo-woo, you got this, girl. But kaleo, that part of the word, the second half, means to call or to strengthen. And para means to come alongside, and it's like a tenderness. So it's this combo of, I get it, I have been there, it's this love that I have for you and for your kids, and it's also this calling up that you don't have to just succumb to overwhelm, to discouragement, to comparison, to feeling like you're never going to get this right. But you can be encouraged to know that you do have the strength, you do have the ability to fill this assignment you've been given of motherhood. And so parakaleo is our word to come alongside and to strengthen. And what I also love, something he pointed out, is the word for Holy Spirit is paraclete, one who comes alongside, that we are full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, that we have a helper who will come alongside us. So we can be strengthened, one, by the words of this episode, but two, the knowledge that as believers in Jesus, we have been promised a helper who goes along with us, who paracletes, who comes alongside and strengthens us and encourages us with tenderness. So the next 4 weeks are conversations I'd love to have if we could sit over coffee, maybe while your baby naps, maybe while your kids were at school or at camp, conversations I'd want to have, not because I've figured motherhood out, but because I have been doing this for over 20 years, and there's a few things I wish someone would have told me, or maybe they did tell me, and I want to pass them along to you. And so today, we're going to focus on marriage, because becoming parents is one of the greatest joys in life, and also one of the greatest stress tests on a marriage. And I don't think, I mean, Bruce and I were married 5, maybe 6 years before we had our first child, and marriage was fantastic. We traveled, we connected, but I didn't realize how the stress of parenting would impact our ability to communicate, how things shifted from fun to conversations about logistics, who's going to take care of changing the diaper, who's going to I knew who was going to wake up in the middle of the night. We kind of figured those things out, but without realizing it, our relationship was slowly becoming centered around responsibilities instead of connection. And also, I recognized I had left a job to stay home and Bruce was still working. And so I had made it my job to figure out how to make sure our child was happy and healthy and growing. And I was doing all the research and all the reading. And so when he would come home, and as kind as he was to help me, I then felt like I was the expert. This was my job, and he was coming into my job and didn't really want, not in a mean way, but like I can imagine nobody wants to be micromanaged. And I would be frustrated that he wasn't taking every little piece of my advice. And I would try to tell him it was like if I went into his work, sat down at his computer and just started messing with his spreadsheets, but he couldn't give me any input. And so just that analogy helped him recognize how I was viewing my role as a mom, and for him to have a little bit more grace to me, and for me to realize that we maybe needed to split labor differently. And so for us, with our first, that became Bruce was in charge of bath, bedtime, ritual, and that was my time to either pick up the house or do something I enjoyed and relax after the day of caring for the baby. But another thing that was a big surprise after becoming a mom is recognizing how different you are. And I would have said on paper that Bruce and I looked very similar in how we were raised, how long our parents were married, the homes we grew up in. But you don't realize that you maybe have a very clear picture how you think you should sleep train or not sleep train, how discipline should happen, how schedules should look. And then you see, oh, wait, my spouse has a different idea. And those differences can start to frustrate. And you can start to believe that different equals wrong. And I realized that I was trying to make Bruce a clone of me instead of recognizing that God gave me Bruce and God gave our boys Bruce. And one of the best things that can be part of our parenting is our differences. So instead of asking, why doesn't he parent like I do, start asking, what does he bring that I don't? And that question changed everything. In chapter 8 of my book, Don't Mom Alone, I write about something that completely reframed marriage for us. The goal wasn't finding someone exactly like you. It's learning to value someone who sees the world differently because they don't just need your strengths. They need your spouse's strengths too. And Bruce brought things in our home I would have never naturally brought. He brought adventure and humor, relaxed confidence, risk, fun. And if I'd spent all my energy trying to make him parent more like me, our boys would have missed so many gifts God intended them to receive through their dad. Another thing that can happen in marriages that I notice is people can keep score. So if you are someone who was working outside the home and now you're staying at home full time, you can be frustrated that he gets to have conversations that are uninterrupted. He gets to go and be with other adults all day. I got spit up on my shirt. I mean, everything can become a scorecard and it can get longer and longer and the resentment can grow really quickly. And so instead of having that, one thing I learned is that appreciation and resentment rarely grow in the same heart. The more I noticed what Bruce wasn't doing, the less I noticed everything he was. So instead of asking, how can I get him to do more? I wish I'd asked, how can we become more of a team? And so I want to stop for a second from my little long spiel to introduce you to one of my guests from September of 2024. His name is Dr. Kim Kimberling. He has spent decades helping couples walk through difficult seasons of marriage. And I asked him specifically about the little years and parenting the little years and any advice he has. And so he talks about this exact thing, about teamwork, about shared vision, about prioritizing your marriage, about the power of prayer in marriage. And I even share some of our rhythms and rituals that we integrated into our marriage that have helped us. So let's listen to some of my conversation with Dr. Kim Kimberling. Let's get into the little years first. So what advice or what have you seen in your practice of challenges people walk through and how do you encourage them?
Yeah, I think one of the things I see with a number of couples that I talk to is, you know, things maybe they've 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years before having kids in their marriage, and they're doing really well, and everything's just going along. They think, oh, our marriage is in a great place. We're just ready to have kids. And then a child comes and things change because, and I think people can tell you about the changes that are coming, but it's not until you really experience that. It's not until you're so tired you can hardly, you know, make it to the bathroom or to brush your teeth or anything because you're so exhausted at that time. And I think what I see in so many couples is it's a time that they were so connected and they begin to not be as connected as they were before. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing is that we quit doing the things that worked before and we kind of quit doing it. And like you did say, it's a season. Every part of that is a season. I never thought diapers would end. I thought this goes on forever, you know, and it did end. And but I think it does help if you have that perspective. And I think it helps to know that each season brings a different challenge, but each season you get to leave something behind, like dirty diapers or things like that. And so I think it's figuring out what's our life going to look like together in this season? You just can't put your marriage on the back burner for a few years and expect it to just all of a sudden get back to where it was before. And so it's, how do we keep our marriage going through this time? And so I think it's important to make sure you have time together every day. Just some of the basic things that are a lot easier when there's not a child around. Absolutely. Because you've got flexibility, freedom. You can make things happen like that. So you're going to have to be much more intentional about things together than you were before. So I think making sure, okay, when does it work for us? Just to have 10 or 15 minutes just to, how was your day? What happened? To catch up a little bit. What did the, maybe if the stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, what did the baby do today that I missed out on? Just some things that you want to share together, things that connect you. I think having date nights, you don't want to put those on the back burner either. Find someone that you trust to stay with your child. Hopefully it's a good friend, someone in your church, family members, things like that. But, and you can be creative with your dates. It doesn't always have to be dinner out or something like that. You can do a breakfast date. You can do a lunch date. You can do anything that works in your schedule, but just something to look forward to. I saw that when we had our first Nancy and I went about 3 or 4 weeks, maybe longer that without a date. And I said, we got to have a date. So I found a lady that was going to sit with the kid, with a baby. And I just saw her that week, her whole countenance kind of changed because she had something to look forward to. Yeah. And so it let me know how important it is that we continue to do those things. And then I think too, just realizing you're a team in this thing, that you're not enemies. Things change. I think guys, usually most couples' intimacy changes somewhat because one or both of you are tired. And so I think that's something that you don't just want to ignore. I think you want to talk about it. You can say, so in this season, what does our intimacy look like? And to me, it's not really as much about frequency as it is about the quality of that intimate time that you have together. And so, okay, when's a good time? So maybe use baby's nap time, so maybe use, you know, whatever you can, but make sure you work that intimacy into it. And I think realizing for both of you, maybe some sacrifice. I had a couple one time and they had, this was after their second and they were both exhausted, but they decided, okay, the kids are in bed at whatever time it was, say 8. We usually just veg a little bit there because we don't have any energy, but we're going to do something together. They started cooking dinner together, having late dinners 2 or 3 times a week, and it gave them something to do together. They were at home with the kids where they felt like they needed to be at that time, but it connected them, Wayne. And so I think taking the time to talk about it and be creative in how do we connect in this time, because you just can't go without connection. No matter how good you are going into having kids, you just can't coast. There's no coast times in marriage. I used to think that, okay, we're going to work all this out the first year of marriage and we'll coast for 50 years or something like that. But that didn't last very long at all because that just didn't work. Yeah. So I think you want to do that. I think the dynamics change with each child. You know, when it's two of you on one child, even though you're both tired, you can tag team on that deal. You get two and it's kind of like one-on-one. If you look at basketball as an example, you get 3 and now you're playing zone defense and it's like you're outnumbered and all those things that go into having kids. And honestly, those were really precious years as we raised kids. We had struggles. We had to figure a lot of things out. I think it's important to embrace every season. Every season with those kids, and don't just think, okay, they're going to be out of diapers or they're going to be walking or they're going to be in school and I'm surviving till they get there. Enjoy each part of that because it doesn't really, you look back on it, it really doesn't last that long. I mean, our kids are up and growing and now we're getting ready to be great grandparents in about 6 weeks. And so kids grow up and it goes quickly. And so, even though the season when you're in it can seem like this is going on forever, it does pass. And so you don't want to miss anything. And embrace that. Embrace it together. Enjoy your kids together. Your marriage still has to be number one. Obviously, a change diaper's got to take priority, or the kids are whatever their needs. You got to feed them and stuff like that. But you need to know that your marriage is still the most important thing next to God. And your kids need to see that. Because if you're not modeling marriage for them, where in the world are they going to get their model? And if it's out in the world, that's not really the model that I want my kids to have for marriage. Yeah. So that's kind of where I see it with young kids like that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like bringing back all these memories. When we had one, the challenge was I was reading all the parenting books and he wasn't, and he would come in and just do things that I was like, no, the parenting books, they don't do that. And I would micromanage him, and that became a point of contention. And like you said, with two, it was man to man. And I just felt like we had to come to Jesus because we weren't connecting at all. We were just doing our own thing. And yeah, I think three and by four, I was seeing a counselor myself. I was so overwhelmed and anxious. But talk to us about that unique, I think what I see with moms of young kids is there is such a pressure cooker that they're under to do it right, that I think adds pressure to the marriage for them all to do it right. And what I noticed that helped us was finally finding the levity and like the humor of that season of young kids. And like, so the diaper exploded all over the kitchen, you know, like, we look back, you know, that's hilarious. Or my husband was really good at, you know, he would do magic carpet rides and a blanket on the floor and go up and down the hall pulling the kids. And they have great memories of just laughter and joy. But I could sometimes squeeze the fun out of things because I'm like, oh, no, they need to go to bed and keep. I had all this mom, I don't know if it's mom guilt, but it's more just, I call it pressure to do it right and be a good mom. And I think it didn't help. So do you see that with couples that come to your office, that the mom is so intensely wanting to be right?
I think that's kind of one that I think it's kind of built in a woman's nature, the nurturing part of that. And you do want to give that to your kids and you want to do the best. I think the first thing that usually happens, you and your spouse came from different families. So you have different families of origin. And parenting probably wasn't done exactly the same in both places. And you don't really know that. I mean, you can talk about it before you have kids, but when you get in a situation and you're looking at your spouse and you're thinking, why in the world are they doing it that way? That is not right. That's not what my parents did. So I think you have to be flexible in that. And when things come up, say, okay, how do we want to do it? Because you're not going to parent like your parents or your spouse's parents. You got to figure out, how do we parent together? And you can bring the good things from both sides, but you got to figure out how to do it together. I think what you said about, I think a lot, I was certainly guilty of this as a dad. I loved to play with the kids. I loved when I came home that they ran and grabbed my legs. And you know, I'd always make sure that I said, okay, where's mom? I want them to see me go to mom. How's she doing? Give her a kiss. And then we'd play, but I loved playing with them. And there were times that I can remember one time, Grant was probably two and a half, maybe something like that. And it was bedtime. And so we were in there and I was, okay, let's see how high you can jump on the bed. Let's, you know, and I'm sitting there catching him if something goes wrong. And Nancy walks in and I think she turned around and walked out is what she did because it was bedtime and I had him so wired. So what we figured out that worked for us was if you wire him up, you get to put him to bed. And so I did. Same. And sometimes I would say, I'm not going to get him wired tonight or her wired tonight. And sometimes I thought, the heck with it. We're going to just play and do this. Yeah. But we worked together on it, and where it didn't become something, you don't want the way you parent to become a wedge between the two of you. And so it is communicating about it.
I was just going to say, do you have any communication tips on like how to do that well?
Yeah, I think one of the things that Nancy and I did that I think really helped us, and we really didn't start doing it till probably a few months into having kids and someone suggested, we would sit down every Sunday afternoon and would talk. And we would say, okay, we'd talk about parenting, we'd talk about what our week looked like, we'd talk about, hey, is there anything unresolved from this past week that we don't want to bring into the new week? And it was just a time for us to kind of air things out, to connect, clear the air on things, and then, okay, what do we need to do? So I think you've got to set aside, I mean, I think you need to communicate every day, but I think setting aside a time once a week where you've got a little more time, try not to have distractions, maybe some of the kids are taking a nap, maybe they're playing outside, whatever it is, where you can just talk about things. And you want to always remember you're a team. So it's not being defensive. It's not accusing your spouse. It's saying, okay, I see that we're doing these things different. How do we want to handle bedtime? What are your ideas and what are mine? And where can we come together on that so we're on the same page with that? Just continue to see yourself as a team. I know that gets hard at times, but if the more you do it, the more I think you see the value in it, the more your kids don't see you arguing about something in front of them because you're doing, one of you is doing something different than the other one is. And so just taking the time to do that and building it into your schedule, I think makes a huge difference. And so you're saying, well, maybe someone's listening and going, well, I think it's a great idea, but my husband will never go for that.
Literally thinking that.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, so I would say, just talk from your heart. Say, hey, I want us to grow our marriage through these times. I heard on this podcast that it would be good for us to sit down together. Will you try it? Just, can we do it just 3 weeks in a row and see if it makes a difference? And I think sometimes the guys, I mean, how can you say no to that? You know, and you get, because the guy's thinking, okay, I can do this for 3 weeks. Well, hopefully he sees the value in it after 3 weeks and begins to say, yeah, we can do this. This did help. It did make things better. Because really, anything you do that's going to eliminate conflict during the week, you're going to both enjoy that. You know, you're going to realize we went all week without fighting over the way we were doing something with the kids. Wow.
If, yeah, feeling that connection, feeling like we're not at odds. And you mentioned the family of origin. I'm sure you have lots of great resources because I'm just learning more about attachment styles and adult attachment styles and how that plays into so much and how we interact with people and our just innate responses to things that you can't give a person a tip. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we can't give a person a tip out of their impulsive attachment reactions to life.
Right.
You know? So doing that research and learning about yourself, I think is really
the more
helpful.
You learn about yourself, you know, the best marriages obviously are two healthy people. And so I think it's responsibility of each one of you to get as healthy as you can and the other spouse to support you in that and to pray for you. You know, we didn't really talk about prayer. Prayer is such an important part of everything we're talking about right now. Nancy, I've told the story a lot of times. I'll tell it briefly, but Nancy was mentored by a lady before we got married that said, the most important thing is for you and your husband to pray together. So on our wedding night, she brought that up. We prayed, but we've probably prayed, honestly, Heather, 99% of the nights of our marriage. Mm-hmm. That has made the biggest difference. So when you're in that season and you're struggling, just go to the Lord in prayer. It unites you. It makes you aware that God is in the middle of this with you and that he has answers that you don't. I can remember times when we'd be trying to figure out something. Maybe it was curfews with kids as they were getting a little older and things like that. And we'd be going back and forth. And one of us would say, let's pray about it. We'd pray and literally within 5 minutes, we had an answer that we agreed on. I mean, yeah. God does show up. And it's to me, a lot of those things times are just really miraculous when they happen like that. But prayer is such an important part of every step you take. And the more you pray together, the better parent you're going to be, the better spouse you're going to be.
Well, I think we have found that to be true. And it's interesting. Like I think back on those little years when we had our come to Jesus moment by the second kid, we were like, okay, kids are in bed. We're going to meet on the couch. And then as they got older, we started doing Saturday morning walks, which you said Sunday. It's like, these don't have to be exactly the times that you're saying, but just making the time. And then prayer, like ours wasn't at night. Ours was hugging in the kitchen before, you know, kids went off to school and a few minutes of prayer. And I just think, these little habits aren't little, like they're the things. And I'm hearing you and I'm like, oh yeah, that was helpful that we created that habit and it sustained us. And yeah. And prayer is real. It's not a last resort.
It is so real. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up the morning prayer because there isn't a right or wrong time about it. And it doesn't don't have to be a pastor. I mean, if all you do is
get on your knees, you don't have to do.
No, you could just, God, help us with our marriage. Help us. We don't know what to do with this child right now. Help us to be good parents. Give us strength because we are exhausted. Just something simple. You can pray silently. You can pray out loud. You can both agree. We're both going to pray the same thing and pray silently. Whatever you can, but go into the Lord in prayer consistently and making that, like you said, Heather, a habit will make a difference. It just does because God wants us to do that.
And if I know this, I'm going to get this message, but I know there are a lot of spouses who aren't of equal faith, and that's a real hard thing to hear. Because they may not have a spouse who's willing to pray with them. Do you have any comfort or encouragement for that person?
I would say you pray. You pray for yourself, pray for your spouse. You ask God to help you look at your spouse through God's eyes because God loves that spouse, even though he may not be pursuing God at that point in his life or pursuing something else. But don't do everything that you can to be who God wants you to be as a wife or a husband. And then really, at the end of the day, the obedience goes back to God. God, with your help today, I think I was a pretty good wife. I think it's a pretty good husband. I think we paired it pretty well together. And so it makes it difficult. I get that. But I think if you focus on yourself and your relationship with God, that makes a difference for you.
Yeah, don't allow that to keep you from your faith journey. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I think having others who can help encourage you in that, because it can get discouraging. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Having good friends or people that are going to support you and be praying for you and loving on you during those hard times is really important.
So many great things that Dr. Kim shared. Definitely go check out their awesome marriage website. They have a lot of resources over there. But what he shared reminded me of something else I wanted to talk about. It's about protecting your relationship and marriage, that when children enter the picture, sometimes we can overly emphasize our baby's happiness, or as they get older, the children's happiness. And of course, they do need us. And of course, they're completely dependent on us. But if we are not intentional, our spouse can slowly move from first priority to last priority, not because we don't love them, just because we're overwhelmed, we're tired, we're busy. And I think we falsely believe that it'll just be back there when the kids are grown. There's an illustration that Bruce and I heard when we got married that stuck with me, and I wrote about it again in my book. So when you get married, couples often will light a unity candle. And our pastor at the time asked us, do you want to blow out your individual candles or keep them lit? And in a moment, it wasn't like we had some grand insight. We just thought, we'll keep them lit. Well, little did we know how that kind of represented our belief that, yes, we are coming together and we are lighting this unity candle in marriage and we are committed to one another, but we're also two individuals. And in episodes I've done with Nancy Houston, who's a counselor, she talks about the importance of differentiation, you being your own person, but also connected to your spouse. It's impossible to connect to someone else if you aren't an individual. And so when these kids arrive, don't let those individual flames grow dim. Don't stop laughing together. Don't stop dreaming together. Whatever you enjoyed doing prior to having kids, are you doing that now? Whether it is going out to concerts, or whether it's watching funny movies, or whether it's reading books, like, what is it? I remember there was a season and we both loved reading the Harry Potter books, and the last one came out, and I don't know why we didn't buy two copies, but we bought one copy, and once the kids were in bed, we got in bed and reread that whole book side by side. I'm telling y'all, that's crazy. But that's what we enjoyed. We enjoyed sharing that story together. Become partners. And like he said, you are a team. And I don't know, sometimes we hear, don't forget you're a team, and that goes in one ear and out the other. But I really think it's, your partner is not your enemy. There's another guest that came on the show, and it's like sometimes there can be issues or problems with your kids, and you each go on either side of the problem instead of sitting next to each other and the problem is across from you, to kind of see that you are going to coordinate each of your own differences, each of your own strengths, and work together to figure out and solve the problem. And I love how he talked about prayer, that prayer is where we get godly insight, that paraclete, that Holy Spirit that comes alongside, that encourages us and gives us wisdom. So if you're listening and you're like, Heather, I've heard all this, still struggling, I just want to encourage you. The struggle is normal. When we start believing that we are the only ones who are struggling in marriage, then we start to believe lies that maybe we'd be better not married. And I don't want that to happen for you. This transition from married couple to parenting partners is a huge identity shift. And we do not want the enemy to convince you that your spouse is the problem. Different does not mean deficient. God intentionally gave you your children, two different people that would bring unique things to love your children well. So here's your challenge for this week. I want you to ask your spouse this question: what's one strength you think you bring to our family that I may not notice enough? And then I want you to listen. No correcting, no defending, no explaining. Just listen. And you might discover that the very differences you've been frustrated with are actually some of God's greatest gift to your family. Okay, I'm going to pray for us. Lord, you have placed us in marriages, and there are a lot of people walking through really hard marriages. I remember after I did this interview, Dr. Kimberling sharing about how narcissism is rampant, and it's a lot of scared people looking for control. And Lord, I know this could be true in a marriage of someone who's listening right now. And Lord, I just know there is help available. There's support available. And I pray that whoever is listening, whatever place they are in this relationship, that they would seek out support and help, and that there is an option to work with your spouse, even if you have personality differences, even if you have family of origin baggage and trauma, that there is help available if we seek it. And Lord, may we be strengthened by your Holy Spirit to take that risk, to reach out, to be vulnerable, whether it's sharing with a friend, someone in our church, with a counselor, even going to this website and looking for more resources. Lord, I pray that we would have the strength and insight and wisdom that you provide. And Lord, I do pray that whoever's listening is encouraged that they do not have to parent alone, that they can pursue their partner in this. And we thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks for joining me this week. Next week, we'll be back with another mentoring episode. Have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.